Okay, so let's get going. Like a motion for the adoption off the agenda. I assume you all have it.
Mm-hmm. I will move.
Yes,
I prefer. All in favor? Motion carried. I can have a motion for the approval of the minutes at the last meeting, please.
There was only one thing on the minutes, and it was under Heritage Forest Housekeeping, and it's not a big thing. I spoke to Brandy about it, but it was just a case of under Heritage Forest Housekeeping, two of three Songbird boxes are being used, and then just to add that same line as above, new bedding material has been placed inside.
Okay.
So in other words, bedding material was placed in both the owl nest boxes as well as their comfort boxes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I can do that.
Seconder?
Chair, they're all seconded.
Okay. All in favor? Motion carried.
Aye.
Okay. Proceed to the business arising for the minutes. Tom, I guess you're on for your and her mess.
Well, actually, I think that's the town, Luke. You guys were waiting for the new branding, apparently, with the town?
Yeah, that's not a fast process, and unfortunately, we're still waiting. The Chamber of Commerce has been leading a process for visioning. I don't know if you or anyone you know has been involved in that, but they've been reaching out far and wide for kind of input on branding, and the town is also in the process of hiring their communication consultants or to kind of, you know, help some of our internal processes. So there's kind of two things underway, and neither of them have a result at this point. So,
okay.
And the town did clean the You Are Here maps, and so they actually look good at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Wildlife tree snags, is that fine?
Yeah, the town town council did approve that, and so more so the society will get that done. Recently, what we did do was we updated the Heritage Forest story signboard, excuse me, at the kiosk. And that was just installed, about 3 weeks ago. And town, put new plexiglass on it as well, because there had been graffiti that didn't come off very well. So it's kind of, that's all done. And now the society needs to, get going on, purchasing that sign, and I'll get it over the town guys to install.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Hemsworth Trail tree planting.
Well, okay, so that's the town.
Yeah, I can speak to that one. Tom, I know you're abreast of what's happening as well. The town has applied for a grant from BC Hydro to help fund the beautification along there. So this is a grant that BC Hydro runs every year, and we try to tap into it for various projects. We've, you know, used it for a lot of trees in the past. So the application is in, and we're still waiting to hear back on that. Really, it's not the ideal time of year for tree planting anyway, so we normally do it in the fall. However, you know, having said that, we are looking for an opportunity to perhaps do the trail work in advance of the tree planting, so that may happen this summer, right? And by trail work, I mean moving the trail adjacent to the road with a little bit of separation to allow for kind of uninterrupted tree planting, and also make sure that the trail is in the sun.
Cool.
Okay. Any further comment on that aspect, boys and girls?
Just a question in terms of what that trail is actually envisioned to be. So is the trail going to be a gravel trail lower than the road or at the same level as the road?
Not 100% sure. It would not. I think it would probably be a bit lower than the road, but not significantly lower. You know, so I think there would be a little bit of change in grade, but the exact elevation we haven't determined. And in answer to your question, yes, it would be gravel.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move along to the funding for the new metal bench along the Hemsworth Trail, item D, 3D.
Yeah, and the town council did approve funding for that. And I spoke to Parks and the town maintenance folks. I met with them a while ago, a few weeks ago. And it's on order, and I let them know that I put a couple of stakes in the ground, which are there with green flagging, and I showed them, you know, the optimal location for it, and so we're all in agreement of where it should go. And so, and they know that the stakes are over there, so whenever it comes in, they'll install. And so what it'll require is that the guys do four concrete kind of pillars, and then they mount the metal base of the bench to those four pillars. So it's, you know, it's kind of involved.
Okay.
Installation.
Okay.
But that's on board.
All right. So off-leash dog walking.
Well, I would like to make a comment on that one, because last time we met, Tony Vitello was going to put a notice in the town tidings newsletter to that effect, so that we didn't want off-leash happening there, and it didn't happen. It was not in the town tidings so far.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too.
I can follow up on that. Sounds like it must be just a mess.
Yeah.
Okay. So can we move on that? Because it's still happening. It's obvious that people are just disregarding it totally.
I can I'll make a comment here from the council side of things. With the commission, it's very difficult for staff at points to take direction from commission or committee members. If there's ever an item, especially like this, Andy, where you want something added to the town findings or something posted and noticed, send your council liaison or a council member an email, and it's way easier because we take direction from you. Staff members do not take direction from committee and council and commission members. So I think it's important to remember that. Staff take direction from either their managers or council as a body, but not from commissions and committees. So if there's ever anything like this that's needed, send me a quick email, and then you've got to guarantee that it will happen.
Okay, so Luke, should I be sending him the email, or are you going to do this?
Councilor makes a very good point. I think on something minor like this, I think we can just take care of it, but your point is very well taken, Councilor Comer, that especially for significant items, mm-hmm. that direction has to come from council.
Oh, yeah. It didn't seem like a big significant item.
So, Angie and Tom and Jack, I'm wondering if it might be useful to work together to compose an email in the fashion that we were just instructed to do, and really lay out what the issues are with respect to off-leash dogs in the heritage forest. So everything going from not managing poop collection, if you like, which is the responsibility of owners, through to transmission of parasites and pathogens from dog to dog, the type of off-trail damage that can be done by dogs scratching, and then of course the risks to owners. Particularly, well, owners of whichever type of dog, off-leash or on-leash, with respect to fights and damage to those dogs that can ensue as a result, for example, of protective behavior by having a dog off-leash running up to somebody with an on-leash dog. The on-leash dog goes into defensive mode, not realizing the other dog is friendly, et cetera, et cetera. A whole bunch of those things.
Happens a lot.
I'm wondering if just putting those together in a request to request to council for the type of action that we envision. And I think that's the key here, really, is that because we don't want any of us in there acting as heritage forest rangers, if you like.
Yeah.
That would be pretty risky to us. What we need is some not only enforcement presence at key times, as we discussed the last time, but also enforcement action. I would suggest that beyond issuing warnings, we actually need a little bit of a chain jerk here and have some fines imposed. That hopefully would bring about changes in the behavior of people. The other thing, Tom, you have talked about this, talked about having 9 signs constructed and placed in strategic locations. Currently, when you enter the forest from different directions, you'll see no off-leash dog walking as one of, 5 to 7 bullets, if you like, and that's really only the only direction that people see, and something new may get the attention of people who, the other thing I'd make a point is that this type of behavior, breaking the rules, becomes a convention when many people begin doing it.
Yeah.
And so I think, Tom, you have commented to me, and certainly I've talked to other people who are walking in the forest, and they're seeing an increasing number of dogs off-leash in the park because it is becoming the tradition or the convention.
I think a few fines would get their attention, that's for sure, you know.
Off-leash dog walking has become common and kind of normal. I estimate 2 out of 3 dog walkers now are off-leash. Some folks have told me that they don't walk in the heritage forest anymore because they are apprehensive, and it's just become so prevalent that they don't use the forest anymore. It's really gotten out of hand, and I think what happens is people see that all these other people are walking with their dogs off the leash, so they figure, well, I guess it's okay. But people contact me regularly about off-leash dogs in the forest. I've been in there when people have been walking and they have no idea where the dog is. The dog is so far off into the forest running around that they're just nonchalantly strolling along. They don't have a clue where their dog is. I was wondering about, and there's another issue that's kind of connected with this that we'll talk about, but what bylaw does during fire season is they've got a chloroplast sign that they put out about putting your cigarettes out, and they he puts a bucket there with some sand and some water. Those chloroplast signs are pretty good, and they're on like 2 metal stakes. People don't read the sign boards. We've got like there's about 7 points there, like Corn with Sand, and people really don't read it. But I have got comments on the one about fire, about putting your cigarette butts out, and bylaw puts it right at the gate at East Crescent and the other one over at Hemsworth. I was wondering, like, there's 7 entrances to the forest. Maybe that same kind of format, the chloroplast with 2 metal stakes, stick it in the ground. I'd be happy to use the zip straps, strap it to, the existing post, because otherwise people will get rid of the sign. And the other area is, it's the, now the go-to place on Saturday morning and Sunday morning for off-leash. It's the grassy open area. It's now a place where people go, with their off-leash dogs, and they meet, they, you know, kind of have a visit, and the dogs run all over the place, they throw balls, and sticks, and, you know, this kind of stuff. It used to be, you know, like there'd only be a couple and it wasn't a big deal, but the off-leash dog thing has really gotten out of control. So is that something that we would need to make a motion as far as getting signage up at each, well, 7 entrances and then maybe 2 more, so 9 signs? Luke, do we need to make a motion to that effect?
Yes, I certainly would in this case.
Yeah, and I know that I've spoken to Bylaw a couple of times about it, and, you know, he's busy, and I know there's been talk about getting another Bylaw officer and stuff, and, so, you know, I think the sign is something, and then other people might be compelled to maybe say something to a dog walker. However, it's interesting because people have told me stories about the extremely nasty response that they've gotten when they have said something to an off-leash dog walker. I've heard several of those stories. And so I guess we don't want to put the onus on the public because the response is extreme. Let's just put it that way. So we don't, you know, put anybody in that position. But all I can think of is the signs and by law, you know, the peak period is kind of 8 to 10, let's say, and 3 to 5. And then of course, you know, by law isn't working on the weekend, but it's Saturday morning and Sunday morning it's peak as well.
If you'd like, I can touch base on a couple of the points you brought up there, Tom. I think signage would be an excellent choice of action for this type of thing. I know that there was a request that came to council formally to bring more enforcement into the forest and to have bylaw actually patrolling the area. That request was denied by council. And the reason behind that was that we get tons of requests for different bylaw enforcement throughout town. And it's hard for us to say yes to one and no to another, especially when we don't see the complaints or requests that come in. If you are getting large amounts of email of off-leash dog walkers, encourage them to also email council because then it adds to the case. If we don't see those, it's very hard to make the case to the council table to allow more enforcement into the forest. I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm just saying that it's a lot easier than, along with your request of having more enforcement, here's the letters of complaints that support this. It's just a lot easier to make a decision for us. With that being said, also with the, again, I think signage is a great idea. The signage for the, for forest fire season, that signage actually comes from the fire department. Bylaw put those out, our fire officers go out and they put that signage not only in that forest, but throughout town, in the extra ash trays. But if you put a motion forward for signage and you send that to council, I will advocate on the council side for allowing signage to be put in the forest, you know, to be able to keep all your animals and dogs on a leash there.
Okay. Okay, so how about a motion then? something to the effect that, what about wording all dogs must be on leash? Bylaw 649 is the bylaw. So maybe a motion made that 7 signs be placed at each of the access points and 2 more in the grassy area?
No.
Something to that effect?
Is that your motion, Tom?
Yeah.
Is there a seconder?
They're all second up.
Okay, all in favor?
Yay.
Yes. Yay. Motion carried. Motion is carried.
So, what about the wording? Like something like really brief. All dogs must be on leash. Maybe underneath bylaw 649.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it short and sweet.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure should council approve your request, staff will work with all of you on wording and signage before it closes out. So if council was to approve it, I'm sure Mr. Sales and the NPARC staff would communicate with all of you before something was put out.
Okay. And hopefully, when's next council meeting? Weekly?
No, but we meet, it's monthly, sometimes twice monthly. Our next meeting is May 27th.
Okay.
So?
Well, 3 weeks. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's quite a ways away. It is rampant in there, but it has been. I think what happened too, just kind of with COVID, is there's so many people off work, not traveling, they're home, and they're walking the dogs. And it is a great way to socialize, to get into that forest, but it really has gotten out of control. There's another issue with that, and we might as well talk about it now. It's connected with off-leash dogs. There was a proposal, Bella contacted me, and I went for a walk with him a few weeks ago. Tony was proposing, or is proposing, to either for a creek to access the Sunnydale side to the back end of the Loop Trail. Now, Cormac, Jack, and two of our directors from the society, we met last Thursday because I wanted them to see what's happened. This was a very generous offer on the part of Tony to pay for the bridge, but what's happened, and I sent photographs to all of you yesterday, is it's getting trashed. Both sides of each creek, which of course is a salmon bearing stream, and this needs to stop. So we kind of agreed between the society directors and Jack and Corm that this bridge idea is a bad idea. Because it would just encourage even more walkers. It's about an 80% slope, like it's super steep over there. If you count one coming in from Sunnydale, and they just go straight up the slope. So next winter, we're going to have some significant erosion, situations there. Also, it is still 80%. I mean, it's super steep. And the thing is about Tony's point was that it would be great to provide access for seniors. Well, it's not seniors using that trail. That trail is extremely steep. It's either, I don't know if it's the teenagers, but there's an awful lot of dog footprints. I think it's the off-leash dog walkers. Luke, did you see the pictures I sent yesterday?
I did, and I did have a question I wanted to ask you, Tom. So the erosion, I just want to be clear on what's happening. So people, are you saying that people are walking down to the bottom and crossing the stream right now?
Big time. There's two logs. There's two logs there that you can walk across. And it used to be, until this year, people really, they were not crossing the creek, but there is two logs down there that you can walk across. But it is a place where kids would go, and I would go down there periodically and pick up the candy bar wrappers, you know, a couple of plastic, you know, Pepsi bottles. I took a couple of chairs out of there last summer. But it was always just a benign thing, you know, like for a few kids to go on a Friday night, I guess, or whatever, but not a big deal. But wow, has it changed? And one of the off-leash dog walkers, actually, it was interesting, was there with Tony and I and talking at length how great it would be able to access the Sunnydale side with the forest. But I don't think that bridge is a good idea anymore, having really looked at the soil erosion that's taking place. So as a society, what we talked about is getting a work party together soon and blocking those trails with windthrow debris. We're happy to do that, and it wouldn't be that difficult to do it, but it needs to stop. You can see in those photographs, there's some really heavy-duty erosion going on over there next to that Salmonberry stream.
So, Tom, can I throw in a comment here?
Yeah.
I don't have a strong opinion on whether or not the bridge is worth the investment, but where you start the bridge, right? So if we assume that the bridge is very small and is down at the bottom of the ravine, then I think you're absolutely right that people would then be walking up and down the slope, likely causing more erosion. If you were to start a bridge higher up, you know, so the bridge gets longer, the bridge gets more expensive, it would actually eliminate the need or, you know, probably desire for most people to ever go down the stream. So I just want to kind of balance the discussion and say that the erosion concerns are not necessarily linked with the bridge. You know, the bridge could actually help in the long run because I've seen over and over where you block a trail, people find a new way down, right? And so you're trying to stop a desire line, and the desire for people to go where they want to go seems to be pretty darn strong. So it's almost, sometimes it's better to provide a safe way that isn't harming the environment.
Yeah, an elevated bridge would be the way, and it certainly in the Conservation Covenant, there's actually mention made. There was always talk about maybe connecting the two sides.
Just to jump in here a little bit. I mean, if a bridge is going to be built, so you would have to have it start at the top, because if you put it even 5-10 feet down from the top, people can't access it. The incline is so steep that it's virtually dangerous. Myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if the bridge is going to go in, I think by definition it has to start right at the top.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, there's two reasons for that. Luke, I think that was just you talking. I didn't see your picture. But the focus here currently is on the conservation aspect. So this is environmental damage being caused by foot traffic in a steep environment. Really, that is the core issue here. And I take well your point that now that people are using that, and increasingly so, that it's going to be difficult to block them from doing so. So I'm going to make a suggestion here that two actions could be recommended. In the short term, what Tom is proposing is to put the debris down try to block traffic in the steep areas in the short term. And then secondly, take a look at the feasibility of building a bridge in a location that would prevent the environmental damage.
See, I'm a little bit worried about what Luke said and the idea that if we block a trail, they're going to find another way through. So we could end up with a second area eroding also if we do something like that. So it's sort of a catch 22.
It might be an idea, Angie, to go for a walk in there. I'd be happy to do that with you, and so you can actually take a look. The options for accessing the, let's call it the stream bottom, where the crossing occurs, are somewhat different on the two sides. But there is erosion on both of those sides, and I think Luke, with your experience in parks and how people develop their own trails, you would understand that people do pick the path of least resistance, and believe me, there's a lot of resistance for any other location than where they're doing it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of options there. It needs to stop, and it needs to stop, like, right now. You can see in the photographs, guys, it's not good. The Lane Conservancy wouldn't be impressed either. That needs to stop. Gamekeepers don't know about it. They would be seriously concerned. If we needed help with moving some windthrow debris around to block those trails, I'm sure that some of the gamekeeper guys would be more than happy to come out and help as well. Luke, you might want to go have a look at that or get Parks or somebody to go have a look at it, because it's really bad.
Yeah, I saw the photos. I feel like I can visualize it pretty well. Maybe a suggestion would be, maybe a lot of people don't know the impact that they're having. So first of all, maybe a little sign, something might be a good option. And then the second point is that a lot of people would be more deterred from walking it if there were something planted in that area, right? So if you really want to restore it and stop erosion, windthrow is one part of it, likely, or, something physically retaining the slope a little bit, but planting some things there would also discourage people, because I honestly don't think that most people will walk over fresh planting. So just another aspect to, so maybe it's a sign, a little bit of an obstacle and planting, but people will go over obstacles faster than they'll trample fresh planting. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think the sign is a good idea, I think, because I think if you just block the trail, there are going to be people that are irritated and start moving stuff away. But if you explain why, then they understand. I think we lost up.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's, I guess it's, what it shows me is, pretty flagrant irresponsible behavior on the part of whoever that is, and it's got to be a lot of people. People can't not know what they're doing. Like, there's so much soil exposure over there that they couldn't possibly not realize that that's a bad thing to do. I'm just not sure about a sign, It's like the dog walk signs. I'm thinking they should be strapped strapped onto the posts that are there. Otherwise, I think they'll disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess, you know, a sign on either end. There's actually three trails on the loop side, and there's the one coming down from Sunningdale, and they're all just a mess. I don't know.
So Tom, again, that the actions that are being talked here are a little bit more complex than just throwing debris on. I agree with doing that as one of the measures. I think putting up some signs in relation to doing some stabilization planting, and so signs that would say ecologically sensitive area, please stay on designated trails. Something like that would help. And I think Luke's point very well that if there was some effort to plant some things in there, would be an obvious thing for people to look at and realize what they're doing. And then in the long term would be to look at the feasibility of a bridge connecting across from a high elevation across the span of that gully.
Luke, that's really expensive. Remember a few years ago, I came to the official committee plan review process. That's probably about 7 years or so ago. You recommended that I do that. And at the time, I was thinking about a bridge, a span from the end of Chester over to Sunningdale, where the old bridge used to be. There was a wooden single lane bridge there as of 1954. That was the old logging road. I couldn't get any interest that time I came to that meeting. People just didn't really kind of get it. I kept going to Costa Rica and seeing these, you know, swinging bridges, these suspension bridges and stuff, and it's not cheap. I don't know, is that something that the town would pay for? Like Tony Cal, like he's not thinking $100,000, $200,000. You know, and he's not coming up with a number, but, you know, he's a generous guy, but I would say he's not that generous.
Yeah.
So, Tom, just a thought on this again. Prior to asking for approval to have finance designated for building a bridge, I think the concept of doing a feasibility assessment, that can be done at any level of funding availability, and it could be quite casual to begin with, but really start the process of thinking about it. My guess, if I could offer a prediction, is that once you do a feasibility assessment of doing, let's call it the high bridge, that would be the ecologically responsible thing to do, that the cost is going to be prohibitive no matter what, and that would be the end of the discussion. That would be my prediction.
See, you need a geotech report. It needs to be engineered, needs to be built to code.
Mm-hmm.
It gets complicated real quick.
Yep. Yep.
And I guess I'm thrown off so much with the erosion that's taking place, and it's got to be the off-leash dog walkers, that I'm not convinced anymore that we need to increase the access and the use of the Heritage Forest, the bridge.
Well, what do you think about those other ideas of the signs, plantings, and redistributing windfall, doing all those actions?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a start.
Yeah.
It may slow down that erosion because, and also how do we halt what's happened? Like if it, if the next big rain is going to land a whole load of silt into Beach Creek, maybe something needs to be done urgently. And is that where stream keepers would kick in and help out?
Well, the society, Corm and I were just talking before we came online, and I wanted to wait until we had this meeting before putting out an email blitz to our 250 members and propose a date. And, it, yeah, like we need to get cracking on this quickly. People need to stop accessing those trails, and we need to stabilize the banks soon, before the winter rains, at least.
If the commission would like, I liaise between the Quality Beach Memorial Golf Course and the stream keepers, and the reason why I bring them up is that the Memorial Golf Course is having a very similar issue, or last year anyways, they're having a very similar issue, and what it was that obviously Beach Creek runs through the Memorial Golf Course as well. And the issue that they were having was a whole bunch of golfers were going down to try to pick up their balls that would go down the ravine by where Beach Creek was. And that bank and that ravine was starting to give away because there was so much foot traffic going down there that it was starting to give way. And they came up with a plan both between them, the town, and streamkeepers to come up with a plan. And what they did is they blocked it off with rope and pilings and signage. But the streamkeepers were then involved in trying to reestablish the bank. So I would strongly recommend reaching out because it's a problem that now happens in our two locations, and it's due to human foot traffic along Beach Creek and the ravine along Beach Creek. I think that would be good to reach out to streamkeepers because this now be the second time they've dealt with this issue, and it's not that far up from the last location.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get a hold of David James.
Okay. So where are we in the discussion here? Somebody suggested signs. Are we going to go with signs as well?
I think we need that to explain to people why. People these days need reasons, right? I mean, you can't just sort of say don't because there's a certain percentage which will say, you bet, I do it. It's happening more and more. So I think signs are reasonable. I think signs can just explain. It doesn't have to be complicated. Like you say, it's an ecologically sensitive area. The trail is now closed or something like that.
So what if the wording was in caps, ecologically sensitive area, and then underneath that, do not disturb?
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Sure.
But it needs to happen quickly.
Yes.
Well,
if I could just jump in, I know that I've seen in a number of provincial parks, you know, it'll say restoration in progress, or, you know, something like that, saying that there's something happening. It's not just closed.
Right. Yeah, okay. Okay, how about ecologically sensitive area? Next line, do not disturb. Underneath that, restoration underway.
That's fine if we have restoration happening.
Okay.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. Okay.
Well.
Yeah. If we proceed with the stream keepers and try to restore some of the some of the back there to keep people away.
Yep, that's good.
Do we need a motion for that, to town?
Do we, Luke? See, the thing is, you're not meeting until the 27th.
Yeah. That's the way.
And then they need to get ordered and yada yada. Another 2 weeks after that.
Well, are you talking about a permanent sign, or are you just talking about something to put up and start to change some patterns?
Well, this ecologically sensitive area, do not disturb, restoration underway. Again, if it was just those chloroplasts, they could be zip strapped to, you know, there's small saplings there, they could be zip strapped to that so that they don't get thrown away, otherwise they will. And that could happen fairly quickly, as opposed to a concrete pad with a metal post and, you know,
Yeah.
So I just remind you that Robert has indicated the work that was done on the, in the golf course area, and amongst the actions taken there was putting up some posts with rope. And it seems to me that that would be a very obvious thing to do here, and that's where you put your sign. At that point, it's just really the temporary measure or the immediate measure to stop the off-trail use. So the sign hung on a rope that's extended through the fence of the barrier. Obviously, not going to be there in the long term, but signage along the grounds of what you said. And I would suggest that whatever is done, working with the stream keepers and other organizations at this point may have an interest, would allow you to develop and implement a plan very quickly. My question on all this is, do we necessarily need to involve council to take these interim measures? Because really there's not a cost to the town involved. What are your thoughts?
If you want the council position on this, I do agree with you. I think, you know, when the golf course did theirs, you know, they went and bought some yellow rope, they made the signs themselves and put them in little laminated slips with their, you know, that they made their own little signs, printed it on a printer, laminated it, and put it out there, and it worked. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a huge project. I think, you know, between the warning work with the stream keepers and seeing what the golf course did there, you know, it was up in, you know, in a couple hours once they decided this is what we're going to do, between tight yellow rope, piling, and a handmade sign. I think when you start getting into now requesting more signage from council, it's going to make requests for maybe other things to come a bit more stringent, I'd say. So I think it's important that this one, it sounds fairly easy. Obviously, council would support the initiative 100%. But yeah, that's where I think we come from on that side.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, John?
Well, okay, so it'll be the society getting this done, and it won't be significant cost. Yeah, okay, we can do that.
As a society, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
The planting is a little more tricky. I'm just kind of thinking about that a little bit. Anyway, we'll have to figure something out there. Yeah.
Tom, I think in my shed I have a bundle of 50 feet of that yellow rope, and I probably have a bunch of the Zaptar too. So I'd be happy to show up with that when you want to put your sign up.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Have we completed a discussion on the erosion aspect?
One other aspect that Tom just brought up and tweaked my thoughts on is the actual technical aspect of doing the restoration. And I think that deserves more thought, not necessarily in this meeting, but there probably needs to be some erosion control, particularly on our side, Tom, of Beach Creek. And it may mean putting logs in place to stop the erosion from moving down when we get the rains. I wouldn't want to be too prescriptive on that at this point. I would say that we might need some advice.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the stream keepers are coming really handy for you, because I know with Beach Creek, with the golf course, they planted plants that were native to the area, and that those plants' job was to stabilize the bank. And so I think that's where the stream keepers come really handy, because that's exactly what they did with the golf course.
And we have a provision in the conservation covenant that any planting in the heritage forest comes specifically from the heritage forest. And so yeah, I've been transplanting trees for 10 years into that grass area. I probably planted 100 trees in there. There's 30 still living. But yeah, the seedlings need to come from the heritage forest itself. That's why I'm just kind of thinking about it a little bit.
Yeah, Absolutely. I mean, if it's, you know, if you work with the innkeepers, if you could find a plant that is already living in the heritage forest that would be, you know, that specializes per se in bank stabilization or ground, that probably would work best.
Yeah,
well, yeah, I think that's something we can work with the Speech Possessor Society, huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I used to deal with landslides with the forest industry on, you know, large scale stuff, but here in land restoration, that's hot. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Just trying to find out where are we. Okay. Under new business, we discussed the erosion on the and number four there. Item number four, the purchase domain name and development website by the society. You want to speak to that, Tom?
Sure. I see that on our agenda.
Yeah, four is 4B.
Yeah.
4B.
Okay. 4B. 4B.
Yeah. Under new business.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, that is ongoing, and I meet with the web designer actually this afternoon, and we bought the new URL. It's www.heritageforest.ca is what we now own. And the old website was, well, kind of pretty lame. It was very old. We don't have the admin privileges for it anymore. The fellow died and his wife couldn't find the code. And so we can't modify anything. So it was time for a new website. And so when we get that finalized, got a lot of excellent material to put in it, a lot of photography. We'll let the town know what that new URL is and the fact that it's up and running, because the town website links to the society website. So that is ongoing, and it'll be great. It'll be really good. So that's just about done. And that's the society cost.
Yes. Okay. So we'll move along to, I guess that's pretty much it in terms of new business, unless anyone else has anything further to add.
There's a few things. I met Lynette Twiggy and Arnold Schwab March 25th, and what there's two very large tree crowns that will become a fire hazard. I'm not sure when that work's going to get done. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. There were three fires in the summer of 2017. The first one in July was about 6:30 in the morning, and it was just exactly what we have in there now in two locations. It was a large crown, kind of elevated, dried out during the summer, and somebody would have used some kind of combustible material, but lit her up. And fortunately, fire got on it real quick. A walker called it in, and so it was resolved. But we've got two crowns in there that are the same exact situation, one on the St. Andrews side and one on the Loop Trail. I've been going in with my cross-cut saw and, you know, cutting the limbs off, but this is chainsaw work. And, anyway, I did meet with Lynette and Arnold. Luke, what I like, so there's a list of action items. Is it appropriate for me to get back to Lynette and Arnold and just as a, you know, a gentle reminder or something that fire hazard or fire season is here? You really need to get on this. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think so. The town has, in the past, always sort of done some general maintenance in the park, you know, like managing fire risk and stuff. So that isn't, it's not direction from the committee above and beyond the work that the town typically does. So, yeah, just a reminder would be good.
Okay, because there's actually five items that we discussed that day and that are outstanding. And I'll do that. And I know that
you've muted yourself.
Oh, sorry. There you go. Yeah, in the absence of council direction saying do exactly what Tom says, you know, it would be kind of discretion, you know, like the park staff would get your request and look at it and do the things that they think are appropriate. So just bear that in mind that your requests are not the same as direction, but definitely, you know, providing your input to park staff would be appropriate.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Let's look at my notes here. No.
Okay, we'll move on to section 5. Any comments, observations with regard to the contents of section 5.
Well, just that assault and indecent exposure thing, there was a that went to court in February, and I didn't hear what the result of that was, but that did go to court.
Good. Okay. Anything else, folks?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Just looking at those maintenance issues, those were the things that town public works and your parks were talking about. And,
Okay. If that's the case, can I have a motion of adjournment, please? That is. Okay, motion carried. Thank you, folks.